Friday, Terry Manchta, Yud Gimel, Sivan Tovshin Ayin Zayin, Reb Daniel Walker.
Good morning, as always, it's a very great pleasure to be here. There's a story of the first Rebbe of Sadigor, the son of the Rishina, of Ram Yaakov. The story goes that he had a gabba, and the practice was that at night, the gabba would wait with his rebbe until his rebbe let him know that it was time to go to sleep. Right, so his rebbe would come out and tell him whatever, go to nacht or whatever, and he would know we've finished work for the day, time to go to sleep, time to go home. So one night, the rebbe was taking a very, very long time. He was in his room and he wasn't showing any signs of finishing any time soon. And it's getting later and later and later. And so he begins to do his hints. He had a way of hinting. I don't know what time it is. Shuffling, knocking, whatever he's doing. Nothing's happening. So finally, he knocks on the door. And he goes in and he says, Rebbe, it's very, very late. It's almost morning. It's time maybe to go to sleep. So he says, if you can go to sleep, but I can't sleep. Why can't I sleep? Because today I had a yid by me. Someone came to me for chiddus, and he told me about something that he'd done. And so terrible is the thing that it feels as if he's almost taking himself out of Klal Yisrael through this thing that he did. And so said, so I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking all night, and I'm crying how to work out a way to find some kind of melitiosha for this person, some kind of tzad for this person, that he shouldn't be pushed out of Klal Yisrael. Because for a yid to be pushed out of Klal Yisrael is something which stops a person sleeping at night. So today what I really want to talk about is this idea. The idea, it's not possible, we'll get to it in a moment, that all of Neshamas Yisrael, every single yid has a part in Olam Haba, has a part in Klal Yisrael. But let's start at the beginning. So the beginning of last week's Sedra, it says, Nosai esvoish b'nei gershin gam heim. And that is explained in Sfarim, Nosei Shvosh Bnei Gershon Gam Heim, means count also the children of Gershon. But one can explain it in a way of Drush. The Bnei Gershon are the people who feel that they are Megurish, that they are pushed away. People who feel, it says in Sfarim, the reason why we lay in Parshas Nosai straight after Shavuos is because we've all been preparing for Shavuos. And Shavuos has now come, and Matan Torah has happened again, and all of the great Giluim have already happened, and yet we could find ourselves in the same place. Every Shabbos has a Motzi Shabbos, every Shavuos has a Motzi Shavuos. A person could find themselves, where did I do, how did I prove my Avodas Hashem? So a person could feel Megurish, a person could feel pushed away from the Eibishter. And the truth is, there's people who not just feel they are, but even may well be, that through their actions, they've made themselves B'nei Gershon, they've made themselves be pushed away. So says the Pasuk, Nosei Shvosh B'nei Gershon Gam Heim. They also, B'nei Gershon as well, they also have to be lifted up. So Shemit Biminov says he's talking to the Tzaddikim, to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Tzaddik has to lift up all the B'nei Gershon. But another form it says that B'nei Gershon themselves have to realize that they themselves can be lifted up. That however far a person feels, and even if Chas V'Shalom they are really far, Nosei Shvosh, they also can be lifted, they also can be brought close to the Eibishter, they also can do tshuva. And this idea is returned to again and again in Sfarim, and usually we turn to use an expression from Shmuel Beis, which is the Eishes Tzekeiah talking to David HaMelech. And she's persuading and giving the whole story, the whole Shaila, which isn't really a Shaila, or ask for help, she doesn't really ask for help. It's all a marshal to tell him, bring back Avshalom. But she uses an expression. She says, V'choshav machshovois. The Eibishter makes calculations. Kosh Baruch Hu devises means. Levilti yidach mimenu nidach. That no nidach, that no one who is pushed away, should ever be permanently pushed away. That even someone who's chas v'shalom in the status of nidach, levilti yidach mimenu nidach, that no one is ever pushed away forever. The Baruch Chaim HaKadosh says in the Pasuk at the beginning of Pinchas, it says, V'shem ish Yisrael HaMukah, Ashahokes Amidyanis, talking about Zimri, person who did one of the most terrible averas possible, Gilirais and Chil Hashem, and a person who was Chayv Misa. But the Pasuk, when giving him his name, says, V'shem Ish Yisrael HaMukah, the name of the man of Yisrael who was Mukah. For this is the Rechayim HaKadosh, we see that even Zimri, even after he did the avera, was still called Ish Yisrael. And through his Mukah, through the fact that he was smitten, that takes away Esa Midyanis, that pushed away the avera with the Midyanis, and Zimri also got Kapara. So the Rechayim HaKadosh, because Yidach Menu Nidach. No one is ever pushed away from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everyone ultimately gets Kapara. And that's talking about during the end of his life, right? So Zerah Chayim HaKadosh is saying that because Zimri was Chayim Misa, and because he was killed as he was, therefore he received Kapara. But we see that another Sfarim it brings, even after a person has passed from this world. So Chasam Sefer has an interesting thing about Dosam Ba'aviram. In one place, Chasam Sefer says that some people receive kapara through their children, or through the manner of their death. It says in Chasam Sefer, Badosam Ba'aviram didn't have either of those things. They didn't have any children because all their families were up with them. And they also, Kerach got the same death. So there was nothing special about their death, so no one learned anything. So one place, Chasam Sefer says, Badosam Ba'aviram never got kapara. But in another place, Chasam Sefer says the exact opposite. And he says, Dosam Ba'aviram, even they got kapara. Why? Because the Torah describes at length a method of their dying, and therefore we learn from that method, we learn from that nes which happened as they died, and therefore people go up in their Avodas Hashem because of that part of the Torah, and that's kapara of Dosam Ba'aviram. So Talmidim asked, Sestira, one place, the Chasam Sefer said, Dosam Ba'aviram don't have kapara, another place he does. So they answered, when is it the Chasam Sefer said he doesn't get kapara, they don't get kapara? With his droshas during the Meibein HaBatzarim. During 3 weeks, time of Din. So there he's trying to be Ma'ira Teshuva, so he gave a more chama, a stricter pshat. But the other drosha, the drosha says, even Dosam Ba'aviram, got kapara was in Elul. Because Elul is a time of rachamim, of mercy, and so then the Chasam Sefer was able to find mercy. But Eloch Hanami, the point is, the even Dosam Ba'aviram, even great Rishonim such as they, even they got kapara eventually for their terrible averas against Moshe Rabbeinu, because yidach menu nidach, because no one is pushed away. That's Rav Noam Yisrael. He brings the same idea, but he takes it a little bit further. He's quoting Sifrei Kabbalah. This is all really so. We'll look at the sources, but he says sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes to a person, and the Yetzer Hara says, look at you. Look at where you are. Maybe you've spent your whole life doing things which are not the way things should be. Maybe you haven't really, but the Yetzer Hara will persuade you that you have. There's no one who, when it comes to, I'm obviously not exact words, paraphrasing. There's no one who, when it comes to the Yemei Adin, and they do the Cheshbon Nefesh, and they work out where they are. There's no one in their right mind, at least, who gets to the end of that Cheshbon Nefesh and decides, yeah, I'm all right. I've done more mitzvahs than averas. I'm all right this year. Everybody knows Moras Nafshei. Everybody knows that we have, if not averas Cheshbon Shalom, then maybe not mitzvahs quite as they should be. It says the Ovi Sals, the Yetzer Hara comes to a person and says, what are you playing around at? You're already advanced in age. You've already done your bit. And look, you see how you've done so far. So, pack it in. What are you trying for? You're never going to get kapara anyway. If you look at the Sifra Musa and the great... You look at the great demands that are put on a yid. So you'll say, you know, might as well take it easy. I might as well just part. So if it's the same idea, the Yetzer Hara also brings atzfus in the same way. As it brings depression and sadness. Because it says in the Baal Shem Tov that being happy is not a mitzvah, but nonetheless, and being depressed is not an avera. of being happy is the most important mitzvah, and being depressed is the worst aveira. Because it leads, right? So a person can end up in a state of atzvos, of depression, they feel down, and that then leads into aveiras. Says the Rebbe Sol, so what's the eitzah? Maybe the eitzah isn't making it up. Maybe when a person really does the cheshbon nefesh, is not in a good place. Says the Rebbe Sol, a person has to have emunah. And they have to know and believe that which the Chachamim told us, that af imigalgel elef pa'omim, even if it takes 1,000 gilgulim, mukhrich it has to be, he'll do tshuva, or lesakein, and he'll get takana, get fixed, or lekayim etz mitzvah Hashem, and he'll fulfill mitzvah Hashem, ki lo yidach mimenu nidach. Because no one is ever pushed away. Says Zayv Yisrael, and he's quoting again Kisra Arizal, that it may take a long time. It may not even happen necessarily in this Gilgal. But eventually every single one of us will receive kapara, every single one of us will be mesaken our neshamas, every single one of us will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the answer to the Eitz Hara is, you're wrong. When you tell me I can't fix, you're wrong. Because here we have a clear pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never going to let me be pushed away. It's more than Sforim Adarabba, it's that feeling, that recognition that because I have to fix myself up, coupled together with that amunah that if I try, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me, is what then opens the gates and leads to that very kapara. But it's those interesting words, again it's from the Kisra Arizal, that sometimes it takes elef gilgulim. That in other words, even when a person sometimes finishes their time in this world, even if a person left this world and hadn't yet fixed up what they needed to fix up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still masabeh things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still makes things happen, so that eventually they end up with takana, with a kapara, with an neshama coming to its completion. Unless you think this is all just drush, it's also bought la'alacha. It's bought la'alacha in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, it's Hilchot Talmud Torah. And he's discussing there the idea of la'olam yasek Adam b'teira mitzvahs afilu shloi lishma. The person should do mitzvahs and learn Torah shloi lishma, a famous idea. Because eventually he'll come to lishma. But the difficulty is that there's two ways of understanding shloi lishma. One level of shloi lishma, not for the right reasons, is simply not for the right reasons. So a classic example would be someone who, if you want to put school children as a good example, so a person who has to sit in class and has to learn. So it's shloi lishma. Right, so we still say learn because you'll start shloi lishma, not for the right reasons, and eventually you'll get to the right reasons. Or even a person just feels compelled, or even a person who does it for reward or fear of punishment is also called shloi lishma. But all that kind of shloi lishma is quite mild. We can understand how, you know, better to do that than not to do it at all. But there's another kind of shloi lishma which is also brought in the Gemara and elsewhere, that it's someone who actually learns for the wrong reasons. Not for the right reasons, but actually for the wrong reasons. So, for example, someone who learns Torah in order they should be able to be proud, for example. So a person wants to use their Torah because they want to be important people, etc., etc. And they know Torah is the way to do that. So they're using the Torah for their gaiva, for their pride. That's already a much bigger problem. And that's, it's hard to say that a person should do that shloi lishma. And we can go even one step further. There's another step further brought also. There's a level shloi lishma of someone who learns Torah, but doesn't actually do what he's learning. So what do we say? So a person wants to sit down and learn Hilchos Shabbos. If he's never learned Hilchos Shabbos before, then anything he does is some form of shayegeg. Yeah, really, you should learn, but there's at least some kind of shayegeg there. But if the person says, I want to learn Hilchos Shabbos, I'm not interested in actually keeping Shabbos. So that's a level of learning shloi lishma, which is very problematic. Because then it's mazed. Then he's sat down, he's learning Hilchos Shabbos, he knows what Kosh Baruch Hu said, and he's still not keeping Shabbos. It's a much bigger problem. So now, Baal Tanya brings Hilchos Talmud Torah 2 days. One day which says he shouldn't do it, that's what it says, that Torah is sam hamoves, is the poison of death for some people. Then he brings another day that says that even someone who is in this state, even someone who Chas V'Shalom is not learning, not only for the right reasons, but he's really reasoning for the wrong reasons. He brings a day that says, nonetheless, the main rev learns Shloi Lishma in order that Yishmael to learn Lishma also applies to that person as well. Why? So he brings Kach Omru Chachmei Kabbalah. So said the Chachmei Kabbalah. It's very rare for him to bring Chachmei Kabbalah. I'm not sure if it's the only time not to speak Baki, but it's very rare. That all Torah mitzvah that a person does when he's still a Rosha, even though when he's doing them as a Rosha, it's Moisif Chayas to the Klippers. It brings extra unholiness to the world. But, Kesheyachza, Chakach, but Tshuva, when he'll do Tshuva afterwards, Begilgul Zeh, Oy Begilgul Acheh, same expression. In this Gilgul, or a different Gilgul. Kemoshe Kosov, Ki Lo Yidach, Mimenu Nidach, Azai Moitzim Eklippa Kotem, it's the Chosel Klusha B'Chazor Osei. When a person does tshuva, even though when he was learning Torah and doing mitzvahs and he was stated being a rasha, so even though there he was bringing very negative things into the world, but when he does tshuva, he brings with him all of the things that he did before. He brings them out of tumah into kedusha. And how does a person who is now a rasha know that he's going to do tshuva? So it's a bit of a strange example, but let's say, for example, someone comes along and says, "Listen, I'm not planning on keeping Shabbos. I want to learn Hilchos Shabbos. Will you teach me Hilchos Shabbos?" So the question is, fine, I know that if the person does tshuva in this Gilgul or another Gilgul, all of the learning Torah now will stand by him, but how do I know he's going to do tshuva? So here the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch, the Baal Tanya paskens, this is the halacha, ki lo yidach menu nidach, that we know for sure the person is going to do tshuva, and therefore, l'fichach ein lo limnoi malasek lo ilom. Therefore, a person shouldn't stop learning Torah at all, even under those circumstances. Words, it's not just a theoretical that everyone will eventually do tshuva, but it's halacha l'maisa as well, that eventually every single person will do tshuva. Now, there's a lot of gemaras. I'll just really take it one step further. Sorry, before I go there, so explain this for him what that means. Is that it may take as long as Tchias HaMeisim. It may take even as long as Tchias HaMeisim. Yisrael should never take that long. But it may take as long as Tchias HaMeisim, but eventually everyone will do tshuva, everyone will receive kapara, and everyone will get up with Tchia. Everyone will be part of Tchias HaMeisim, everyone will be resurrected. Now that's already a little bit difficult, because there seems to be Gemaras that say otherwise, and Mishnah and Rambam say otherwise, and so that's really what I want to look at a little bit now. So first of all, you have a Gemara in Bava Metzia. It's Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, Kol Hayodin LeGehenem Oilim. Everyone who goes into Gehenem comes back out again. Right, so Gehenem is only a temporary thing. Everyone goes to Gehenna, well, not everyone, but a person goes to Gehenna, they eventually come out. Chutz mishleisha. But then the Gemara says, besides for three, Sheyodin vein oilin, they go down and they don't come back up again. Ve'elohein, abalashis ish, someone who commits adultery, v'amalbim prechaveir barabim, and someone who shames their friend in public, v'amachun Hashem al chaveiroi, and someone who gives a nickname or gives a bad name to their fellow. So says the Gemara clearly, there are some people who are Yodin Vein Oilim. Likewise, there's the Gemara also in Erevin that says that the only Peshi Akum, it's Gemara Yutesam Ad Aleph, that only the sinners amongst the Goyim are destroyed forever, but Peshi Yisrael come out of Gehenna. But then the Gemara said, and then the Gemara brings the name of Resh Lakish. It says that Peshi Yisrael ain't Er Gehenna Shletzes Bohen. The fires of Gehenna don't affect Peshi Yisrael because Avraham Avinu comes along and drags us out of Gehenna. So even if a person has to go into Gehenna, Avraham Avinu comes away straight away and takes them out. It says the Gemara, except for someone who is Bailar Amis, except for someone who has a relationship with a non-Jewish woman. And then Avraham Avinu doesn't recognize him. So it seems to be there from the Gemara of Bava Metzia and also in Erevin that there are some people who go down forever who are not pulled out of Gehenna. Already Al-Asar there, Tosfos already begins to say that it doesn't mean always. Tosfos Bava Metzia says, not all of these three people, Oilim v'Yodin. But it means that everyone else comes out straight away, and those people, for those various, stay for 12 months. Right, so already Tosfos already brings various exceptions, if you will. And of the other Rishonim as well, bring different understandings of these Gemaras. It doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom that a person goes down to Gehenna forever, but rather that they go down for a little bit longer, they don't come out quite as quickly as everyone else. But at the end of the day, I call it Olin. Everyone comes out of Gehenna, and everyone eventually has to Chesed Mesim. But, so first of all, the question we need to ask is, but then, sorry, then we have other sources as well. For example, we have the idea of Koris, right? That Koris is the entire destruction of a neshama. That when a person, the most explicit example of that is the Rambam, when the Rambam says that the Rishoim, they are destroyed like animals. Like someone who's Chayv Koris, their neshama is destroyed entirely. So the truth is that Ramban in the Shara Gemor already disagrees with the Rambam and says that's not possible. The neshama can never be destroyed. But even the Ramban leaves some space for some kind of Peshisol to end up in some kind of permanent Gehenna, or at least not Gan Eden. So really the Makar, which changes all of that, the Makar which changes that is the Kisvari. And we have a klal that when it comes to all these things, now that we have the revelation of the Arizal, so we're passing like the Arizal. In any of the any disagreements between the Rishonim, Paskin like the Arizal. The Arizal and the Talmid Arizal say very clearly that even Koris doesn't mean that a person is neshama is destroyed forever. What it means is that it takes a very, very long time till they get kapara. It means they have to come in Gilgulim. It means that the neshama is disconnected, but ultimately, by Yidach Men Nidach, that no one is pushed away. Even says a Bon Sefer, so it says in Sfarim that sometimes some people go to Gehenna forever. So I think Emma Kamalat says, how do you answer that? So he says, when Mashiach comes, Gehenna itself will be shut down. And Gehenna and the boundaries of Gan Eden will be extended into Gehenna. So basically there won't be a Gehenna left at the end. So when those forums say that a person stays in Gehenna permanently, then that means until Gehenna comes to an end itself. But ultimately everyone comes out. And the question is why? So again, it's because Arizal is brought in the Al-Sheikh, it's brought in the Medrash Shmuel and Ovis. The reason why is simply because that's the nature of the Neshama Vid. Yaki Yisrael Palmea says it most clearly. So the Pasuk says, V'yisem kadoshim ki kadosh ani. Be holy because I'm holy. So what does that mean? I'm holy, Kosh Baruch Hu says, and you are chelek ha'kamam mamash. Your Neshama is part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu from above. And therefore, v'yisem kadoshim. And therefore, you will be holy. By virtue of the fact that you have a neshama tahira, which is connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu permanently, whatever else you manage to do to it, however much dirt you manage to put around that neshama, however much you manage to cover over the neshama, ultimately that neshama is Kadosh. And therefore, ultimately that neshama will be connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, it's the essential nature of a neshama. The essential nature of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that about Yerich Men and Nidach, no one can be pushed away. Here is a very strong question. The Makar in the revealed Torah for all of this is, of course, the Mishnah in Chelek, right? It's so famous now because we're saying it in Pirkei Avos. That begins, Chol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chel Olam Haba. That all Yidden have a part in Olam Haba. Shneema, etc., etc. But the truth is that the Sefer of that Mishnah says the opposite. Or rather, the Sefer of the Mishnah limits that. The Sefer says, Ve'elu she'en lem chel olam haba. These are the people who don't have a chelek olam haba. Ha'im ein tchichas ha'meis min ha'tayra, ve'im te'min ha'shamayim, v'api keres, v'am b'kiva adz mor, etc., etc. Abashol adz mor. So the same Mishnah which says, Kol yisol yeshev chel olam haba, also says not everyone has a chelek olam haba. So it's all very well, we can explain Gemaras in different ways, and we can understand the Rishonim in different ways, but it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Elam Chelek Olam Haba. So one explanation given is that a person, Chas V'Shalom, can enter into that state. A person can enter into a state where Elam Chelek Olam Haba. But that doesn't mean that they remain in that state. You can see that already in the Rambam. So Rambam Perek Gimel brings that idea. Right, that there are those who kind of like collects together all the Gemaras and says the people she'enim chel enim abba. But then later on in the halacha, the Rambam says, "B'me devar mamurim k'shemeis b'leit tshuva," when the person died without tshuva. And then Rambam goes on to make a very great chiddush based on the Gemara, Smachlegs of the Gemara, and the Rambam Paskins this way, that even someone who does tshuva in secret, so for example, a person towards the very end of their life, they're not in a position to actually do an active tshuva at that point. So the Rambam, even if they just do tshuva in their head the second before the Malach Mavas takes them, then also they're out of this category of people who don't have a chelik in Olam Haba, and they have a chelik in Olam Haba. So in other words, these categories of people who don't have a chelik in Olam Haba are not fixed. As with any other category, a person can leave it by doing tshuva. So the Rambam brings doing tshuva in this world, albeit at the very last moment, albeit doing it in secret, albeit not having time to actually do anything practically about it. But either way, the Rambam says, a tshuva is a tshuva. Right? Someone does tshuva, is okay. But we can also bring, from other makaris as well, that it doesn't even end there. So the first thing is a very, very famous idea, most famously expressed in Medrash Tanchuma, of Brahma Zake Abba, also Gemara Sanhedrin, that a son can bring kapara to his father. Very famous story in Medrash Tanchuma, we all know it. Rabbi Kiva sees a person who's black because of his suffering in Gehenna, and he's asking him, what did he do? And he says, I was a tax collector, and I oppressed the poor and favored the rich, and so now I have a terrible, terrible punishment in Gehenna. And the Bekiva says, do you have a child? And he says, I don't know, my wife was pregnant when I died. I don't know if it was a boy or a girl, I have no idea. So he asks him, where do you come from? B'chulu, b'chulu. The Bekiva finds his son and tries to educate him, and the child doesn't want to be educated. And the Bekiva fasts, mem yoin, the child should open his mind and listen. Until finally, the Bekiva teaches the child to say Baruch Hu. And when the Bekiva teaches the child to say Baruch Hu, so, or Baruch Hashem Veirach, then the person comes to Bekiva in a dream and says, Bekiva, you took me out of Gehenna. So we have Brahma Zake Abba, okay, Gemara, and also it says regarding Amon, Amon and Melech, father of Yeshiyahu, he's not listed amongst the kings that don't have a chelik in Haba. Gemara says, surely he was as bad as everyone else, why does he have a chelik in Haba? And they say because of his son Yeshiyahu, Brahma Zake Abba, that a person's son can bring kapara to that person.
You said before that a person who dies without tshuva, yeah, has no chelik in Haba. So how do you understand that?
So that's the idea. In other words, he's
in. You're coming on an explanation afterwards that you can be born without a kavir. But the proof is that we have really no understanding of it. Because it says, Peresh, that a person who dies without tshuva has got no Olam Haba. So now you can't just say, oh, but if he has a stipulation that he's got a child who's keeping.
No, on the contrary. In the same way. In the same way that Rambam says.
We have to understand what he's saying.
In the same way that Rambam says that a person has no chelik in Olam Haba until he does tshuva.
We've got to understand. I don't understand it.
All right, so let's just say that afterwards. The Gemara, okay. Then we have the sort of Acher also, Gemara Chagiga, where the Gemara says the Acher also had no chelik in Haba, couldn't even get into Gehenna. And so Rabbi Meir got him into Gehenna, Rabbi Yochanan got him into Olam Haba. So again, we see someone who has no chelik in Olam Haba afterwards can be given a chelik in Olam Haba, depending on what people do here. So in other words, even if a person who isn't a son davens or in some other way gives tzedakah or in some other way affects the neshama, that neshama also can be given a chelik in Olam Haba, even though they're in the category of people who ain't no chelik in Olam Haba. And then finally, you have the Gemara side also, which talks about suffering. And there's a. The Yerushalmi Klein that says that even Yerovam ben Nevot in the end had chelik in Olam Haba because he suffered. Because he was buried in the land of Eretz Yisrael and the land was burnt and his body was burnt and that suffering also gave him a chelik in Olam Haba. So in other words, even suffering after death can also have an effect as a Yerushalmi and also the Bava as well in Sanhedrin. And then finally, one way of understanding this mission is to say that it's born in Kizirizal again, that sometimes a person who Einem Chetlan Maba, mamish nothing helps them. So they have no child, and they have no one else who intercedes for them, and they have no suffering in this world, they didn't do tshuva. So what happens? So it's Kizirizal, that what happens is that body doesn't get up with tchir. But the nimsus of the neshama, the spark of the neshama that should be in that body, goes into, together with other sparks, because later neshama is split into many different bodies. It's a very long story, but neshama is split into many, many different bodies. So says the Arizal, that spark that didn't manage to fix up that guf, so that guf doesn't get up for tchiyah. doesn't come back to life. But the spark itself, the neshama itself, does come back. It's here, but albeit with it in a different body, with a different part of the soul. And as I explained, the strange lashon in the Mishnah, where it doesn't say chutz mi'elu. It says these have a chelek and these don't have a chelek. And really it's not a stira. Because the first part of the Mishnah is talking about the neshama, and the second part of the neshama is talking about that particular, second part of the Mishnah is talking about that particular guf. So why does all this make any difference? So we spoke at the beginning that Yisrael says that a person should never become discouraged. A person should know that they themselves are Baal Yiddach, Men and Yiddach. But let's just say a quick story. So I think the Regina tells a story about Rav Zusha van der Poli. He was by the Maggid, by his Rebbe the Maggid. And one time someone came into the Maggid and began to ask for a bracha. And Rav Zusha could see on this person that he had many averis. And he became very angry. How can this person stand with the brazenness in front of Zusha, in front of the Maggid of Mazarich, without even doing shuvah before he comes in? So he begins to berate the man, begins to tell him off. And the man gets very embarrassed, he runs away. Anyone knows the story of Zusha van der Poli thinks that's a very strange story, but get to the end. So Zusha felt very, very bad. He felt very bad. He shouldn't have done that to that person. So the Maggid gave him a bracha. And he said, from now on, you should only ever see the good in another yid. You should never be able to see when a person comes in and see you can see his averis. You should only ever see his mitzvahs. So the truth is, that's how we should look at everyone. Right? The minhag, for example, is that we... Minhag, it's really halacha. That the son only says Kaddish for 11 months. Why not for 12 months? Because the din of Rishayim Gehenim is 12 months. And the son wants to say, my father's not a Rasha. So although there are people in Paschal brings, if the father instructs the son to say Kaddish, he can say it. But once the son turns around and says, actually, I kind of know my father was not a great guy. Is he allowed to say Kaddish for 12 months? He's not. Right? We have to see the, even Allah, we have to see the good in every single yid. But sometimes it gets a little bit difficult. And so the idea of Baal Yiddach Men and Yiddach is that every single yid is going to have takana. You don't know where that person is in all his gilgulim. But what you do know is that why wait? So again, at the end of Ovi Sol, he says, why wait? Anyway, you know that you're going to finally do tshuva and you're going to have kapara. So why wait for all of the gilgulim? Why wait for all of the suffering? It's happening anyway. Make sure it happens now. And likewise with someone else as well. We know that everyone else is going to do tshuva in the end anyway. So our duty is, A, to see them with Tevis Haim, with a good eye, but also to help them on their way to do that tshuva that they need to do, to achieve that the kapara they're going to get to. It's not entirely connected, but it's a very nice story. I just want to share it with you. And just to finish the last few seconds, I heard a story from a very reliable source. If you want to know the source, I'll find it for you and I'll give it to you. But the story is, the story regards Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, originally. Someone came to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and they had a very difficult shaila in Yuchsin. The person who was telling the story didn't say what the details were, I don't know what the details are, but they had a very, very serious shaila regarding whether or not they were allowed to be married to their wife or not. So the Avrich is from, it's an Avrich. Because of Shlomo Zalman, he asked him the shaila. And Shlomo Zalman tells him, I'm not feeling well, I'm elderly, and I don't want to answer such a heavy shaila, please go ask somebody else. So he goes and asks two other great paskim in HSR, and unfortunately he gets two answers, he gets a yes and he gets a no. So he goes back to Shlomo Zalman and he says, I got a yes and I got a no, what do I do now? So Shlomo Zalman told him, don't do that. You know, he asked one shaila, not two, asking for. He says, only I can't be machriyah between these two gedolim. What I want you to do is go to Rav Moshe. Go to America. Go to Rav Moshe Feinstein and ask him the shaila. So the Avrich travels. I don't know how long ago it was. I imagine quite a long time ago. So I don't know how hard it was to travel, but he traveled to America. But before he left, the Shlomo Zalman said to him, since you're already going, I want you to ask a shaila for me as well. To ask Rav Moshe, I have a yeshiva. And I have there a boy who is not behaving as he should. And therefore, for the sake of yeshiva, really I should throw him out before he has an effect on anyone else. But on the other hand, if I throw him out, then I know that he's He's lost. He's already in a bad path. He's already falling down the hill. Throw him out of Yeshiva, he'll only end up at the very bottom of the hill. Please ask Ramesh and my Shaila for me what I should do. So a man goes to America, and he goes to Moshe, and he finds that Ramesh is very ill. He has a chest infection, has a fever. And so they don't want to let him in. Ramesh is in bed. But he says, Hashem sent me, so okay, I have to let him in. So he goes in, Ramesh is very ill. But he asks him his Shaila first. He asks him his Shaila about, and it's very, very difficult, complicated Shaila, about Yochsin. And Rav Moshe, as was Rav Moshe's want, answers the Shaila in a moment. Gives him very clear, tells him yes, tells him you don't need or no, whichever it is, tells you don't need to give a get, stay married. Boom, like that. And then, okay, he's about to go, and then he remembers. What's got another Shaila? So he asks him, Hashem Zalman Shaila as well, about this Bacha, that maybe she'll kick out, maybe we shouldn't. And Rav Moshe says to him, Are you being serious? Here I am, I'm lying here with a fever. Here I am, very, very sick. And you're asking me such a difficult shaila as that, as whether or not a chance to be thrown or not out of Yeshiva. Come back in a few days when I'm feeling better, when the fever's gone down, and maybe I'll try and answer such a difficult shaila. So I think the lesson is very, very clear. For us, the Yochsin shaila is a very, very serious shaila. For Gedalim, the real shaila is whether or not Yiddish and Shama should be nidach or not, whether or not a child should be pushed out of Yeshiva or not. Yes, sometimes no, but it's a very, very difficult shaila. Because, as we see very clearly, by yidach and nidach, no one ever should be pushed away from Kodesh Baruch Hu, no one ever should be pushed with techskan for Shechina, but rather we should do our part, just like Kodesh Baruch Hu does, to bring everyone back in.
Let me give you two madamakomas. I've not seen them recently. Uh-huh. One is a pun miyufas, Pashas Nitzovim, on the posuk, Shavuot Elishem, after the Venerable.